Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I hope this finds you well. My name is Paul Nichols. I am the investor coach and will be your host. Hope you're having a super day. I want to share a few thoughts with you today. We're going to do our normal market update, which will be fairly brief and a quick refresher or primer as to why we believe it's important to understand what's going on in the global marketplace. And then just some news. Let me start with the news. And these aren't really any type of valuable information per se, other than just kind of an understanding of what's going on a little bit economically, globally. Just a few things that stick out to me. I get all kinds of information early in my morning as it relates to financial goings on. Read a lot of that stuff, as many of you do in the news. But some of the stuff we get is a little bit more obscure. You don't quite get it in the mainstream news so much. And of course, a lot of that is so jaded with opinion anymore. It's hard to find out what's news and what's someone's opinion of what their perception of a news item. But with that being said, a couple items just stick out of my head. One jumped out at me. Greek stocks opened deep in the red again. That was this morning as of August 4th, Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. And of course, none of that should be a surprise. They had another 30% plunge in banking stocks as investors react to continuing questions about the new bailout. So that's an ongoing work in progress, so to speak. Of course, Puerto Rico, many of you may have heard, has failed in their debt payment over the last weekend, placing U.S. Commonwealth in default for the first time in history as it relates to, this is a territory, Puerto Rico. I can't say that I have much more input on that. We'll see how that starts to play out. Although I'm sure we're going to hear an awful lot of grandstanding and he said, she said, and only could have, or should have, would have, could have. When generally in most of these cases, it's just a lack of fiscal responsibility. But we'll see how both of those marketplaces play out. I think it does speak to the importance of having a global portfolio. According to the science, it's very clear you want to own the entire global marketplace. That includes roughly 40-some-odd countries, 42, 43, 44 countries that make up both the developed and emerging markets. And we give you an update on those regularly. And really, the two blips that we see globally around the world, a little bit of stuff that's going on in China. Another little interesting note, China and Greece and now Puerto Rico, although we wouldn't quite call Puerto Rico international, but China's unveiled more rules to make it harder for speculators to profit from hourly changes in stock prices. And under the new guidelines, short sellers must wait at least a day to cover their position. So they'll make speculative stocks knowing that they can use a margin account. And they normally have a few days or longer to cover the margin, where here they're shortening that time frame. But it just goes to what popped out to me was hourly changes in stock prices. It just goes to show how gambling-esque or how casino-esque the market really is from a viewpoint of the speculators in it. Now, we know the academic truths of the market are very clear and historically sound as well as empirically proven, and that is that you want to own equities, you want to diversify across a broad-based global portfolio, you want to rebalance, and realize that investing is a lifelong endeavor. It's not something you get in and out of. You do it long term. You keep your money invested to a sleep factor level that you can live with, and you understand that you're trying to get market returns, and the market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. You never know what's going to happen to the market. All we know for sure is the market goes up and down, but we always know that it always hits new highs. It's like going up a flight of stairs while you're playing with the yo-yo. And as an individual, a registered investment advisory firm's president, I can tell you after being involved in the industry for many, many years and sitting in many conferences, especially with academics, it's pretty clear what works and what doesn't work. And any form of stock picking, market timing, track record investing, i.e. speculation, is a losing proposition because you have to be right multiple times when you follow those types of strategies. You have to be right if you anticipate the market's moving in a certain direction, a company's moving in a certain direction, an international country is moving in a certain direction, or companies, or whatever it is. So we know that stock picking, market timing, track record investing has no empirical purity to it. There's no, it's nothing but a hypothetical theory that really was espoused by a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Graham back in the 30s. Benjamin Graham wrote a book back in the 30s called, and I'm going to pair, I don't know exactly, I can't remember exactly, Stock Picking and Technical Analysis sticks in my head, where he was the first guy that really came out and said, hey, stock picking works. You can study a company, study the balance sheets and the technical information. From that, you can determine ebbs and flows of that stock, and you can pick stocks on the way up and dump those on the way down. The interesting thing about Mr. Graham's work is he recanted it in the early 70s prior to his death and said that stock picking doesn't work. But yet so many people have latched on to it, especially when it comes to trading. Interestingly, though, that it's not that's not taught in universities. What's taught in universities is the Nobel-winning science of modern portfolio theory and dissimilar price movement and understanding where risk factors come from, and Eugene Fama's work and French's work and Markowitz and Miller on and on and on. So when we start to look at a lot of this news, I remember Eugene Fama, the latest Nobel Prize winner in economics, talking about how all this news is really noise, that it really has no bearing on what's going to happen in the long term. We're all in the same market environment. The market goes up, the market goes down. It's always interesting to me when I analyze most portfolios and I see an under-market performance, meaning they don't perform as to what the market has performed in the same time frame you're looking at. And when you start to look at that, it's very simple. The reason that happens, and that is because people chase the market and the cost involved to constantly speculate and trade. So the academic stance is very clear. We're all in the same market environment. We're basically, and for the most part, owning a lot of the same types of things. It's just there's no real discipline, no real stake stuck in the ground as it relates to what you do and what you don't do, and that there's really no reason to change anything based on the social, political, economic climate. That is the marketplace, that you want to have a well-diversified portfolio that's based on your sleep factor level, and you understand that you need to rebalance and hold. There should be very, very, very little trading. And ladies and gentlemen, unbeknownst to most novice and even more seasoned investors, when you buy an index fund, there's still trading in the index fund. Now, in the retail environment, it's still the best way to go if you can't hook up with someone that can put you in place, put you in touch, or put you in a position to really look at institutional portfolios where you squeeze down cost and some of that hyperactive trading and the attenuation and the loss of returns based on the cost of paying more fees. But anyway, I went off on a rant on that, didn't I? Just on the news. Well, listen, stand for something or fall for anything. What do you think? Stand for something or fall for anything. I thought this was interesting, this little side note. See, I'm talking to you from Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, affectionately known as Happy Valley. We live in State College, Pennsylvania. That's where our headquarters is. It happens to be where Penn State University is housed. So we're in an academic community. At the same time, we happen to be in the mountains of central PA. And if you know anything about central Pennsylvania, it is a outdoorsman's recreational haven. I mean, there's hiking and fishing and hunting and snowmobiling and four-wheeling and all kinds of stuff up where we live. So there are a lot of outdoors people. In fact, there's a huge percentage of hunters that live in our neck of the woods in central PA. Not so much in the Philly and Pittsburgh areas, but more in the central PA. In fact, you have a lot of people that come from those areas to go hunting during the hunting season, which primarily is deer. You know, I mean, there's bear and other things, turkey, but Pennsylvania is really known for the deer and the deer hunting. And so as someone who talks to a lot of hunters, and I am one myself, took it up a few years ago, enjoyed immensely the wildlife. It's not about the kill. It's about communing with nature and spending time. I've been out many, many, many days and never harvested an animal. But we have been lucky from year to year, fortunate to harvest an animal, and we eat it. And our family loves it. And we do that for sustenance. It's our God-given right as an American. But what's interesting is I just saw this news. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this is just ridiculous to me. It goes to show how pervasive social media and opinion or the perception of opinion gets companies to move. It's like companies have become politicians anymore. Delta Airlines has banned shipments of hunting trophies on aircraft amid international outrage over the killing of this lion Cecil, which I'm sure many of you have heard about this. What's interesting to me, being a conservationist, we write checks every year and we support wildlife organizations in our state, education, youth education, conservation, educating as well as being involved in helping organizations carve out wetlands and other areas that allow animals to flourish. And when I think about how much revenue is created in this state and around the world by hunting and people like this, I don't think they realize what they're saying when they make these kind of bans. It's kind of like Macy's recently. They made an announcement about a politician's stance on something, and they had this huge deluge of Macy's credit cards that were canceled. And the primary reason was that many of the people that canceled felt that Macy's wasn't supporting Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, and free speech, the Second Amendment. And so I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal that Macy's had reneged on that stance and made such a strong social statement, and they started thinking about it from a business perspective and said, well, maybe we made this statement too fast. Maybe we should just stay out of politics. Well, I think that's true of a lot of companies as well. And I mark that by saying this. In this state of Pennsylvania, I was talking to a recent game commissioner at a luncheon a while back, and he had shared with me that the Fish and Boat Commission in the state of Pennsylvania brings in over hunting license, fishing license, etc., $7 billion a year just on that alone. So when we start talking about revenue for naturalists, hunters, outdoorsmen, recreational sportsmen in the area of fishing, etc., it is a mega business, a mega business. I mean, in our area alone, within 50 miles, 100 miles especially, there are several large stores and retail outlets that support just hunters alone. But anyway, interesting stuff when you look at the news. I've often said when I talk to a lot of people that this is just my opinion, so you're welcome to it. But in my opinion, what I see is a lot of people that really don't stew too much on information anymore. They'll hear a sound bite or a snippet on the news and just accept it as fact, rather than really thinking through what they're really saying. And I find this to be concerning, especially in the area of finance, because one of the things we're really strong about is education, clarity, confidence. We believe education leads to clarity, clarity leads to confidence. And only with confidence can you stick a stake in the ground. Can you have validation? Can you have peace of mind? And what we find is a lot of people will accept little tidbits or sound bites or financial rules of thumb and base their future decisions on that, where if they would have dug a little deeper, they would have found out that the motivation of the rulemakers that put that in place may be skewed with their own motivation. And so I often find that it's like Social Security. Social Security, deferring Social Security, huge financial mistake for the vast majority of people. It's like deferring taxes in your IRA, huge mistake to defer taxes and have a taxable harvest rather than pay tax on the seed, especially if you believe tax rates are going to go up. A lot of rules of thumbs that we see really don't hold water, especially when you apply them scenarily to people's real life, practical. A lot of the theories of the financial rules don't seem to work out in the practical application. That's when I pull my calculator out of my pocket. When I pull that calculator out of the pocket and sharpen that pencil, I find there's a big difference between perception and reality. This is why we believe coaching is so important. This is why we do the things that we do. If you see our website, there's a plethora. Yeah, I got it in again. I love that word. A plethora of information on our website that's meant to empower you. Knowledge is power. The rich get richer. It ain't by mistake. Notice that the use of the proper English language. The rich get richer. It ain't by mistake. It's by design. With that being said, let me get into the market update because I feel like I'm flapping my gums over here a little too much. 8-3 as of 8-3, August 3rd, 2015. How's the market doing, Paul? Well, I'll tell you how the market's doing, ladies and gentlemen. The Russell 2500, which measures small to very small U.S. growth companies, is 4.1% year to date, 4.1%. We've given up a lot in the last couple of weeks. I got to tell you, the market has taken back some. They giveth, it taketh away. 2000, Russell 2000 measures small to very small U.S., 2.97 year to date. This is as of August 3rd. Russell 1000 value, large cap value companies, that segment of the marketplace is negative, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we do have a negative area. It's 0.59% to the negative. Large value is down a little. How about small value? Small value, according to the Russell 2000 value index, down 2.5%. Ouch, ouch, that one hurts. That's our U.S. loser for the year so far. Year to date would be small value, which generally is the winner. But, you know, it goes up, it goes down. Not everything's up at the same time. Dissimilar price movement. Umbrellas, suntan lotion. You never know when it's going to rain. You never know when the sun's going to shine. You want to be prepared like a Boy Scout, like a Girl Scout. Russell 2000 value down 2.5%. That's small value. How about S&P 500, widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market? That is 1.9%. So U.S. large growth is about 1.9. It looks like the winner-winner chicken dinner is U.S. Small so far. It's up over 4%. Small to micro is up about 3%. The other areas, value are down, but U.S. growth is up. Let's move on to international, which we use a Morgan Stanley Capital International family of indices. We're going to start with the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. That really looks at the world as a whole. What it does is it looks at the performance of more developed markets. These would include markets like Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Hong Kong, Ireland, Japan, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and United Kingdom. It's year-to-date 3%, almost even 3% year-to-date up in the developed international markets. So when we go on to the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets, not developed, but emerging markets, these would be countries like Argentina, Czech Republic, Hungary, Israel, Mexico, Philippines, Russia, Africa, Taiwan, Turkey, to name a few. That is the loser for the year. Doggone it, boy. 6.84%. Ouch. Ouch. Emerging markets is down a bit. That's a rough one. China's in there. That's a big one. You know, that's China take a big hit a few weeks ago. It's gradually rebounding back. Last index, Morgan Stanley Capital International, Europe, Australia, Far East. Europe, Australia, Far East. And this one is an index that's designed to really look at the performance of developed markets, but excluding the U.S. and Canada. 5.7%. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a well-diversified portfolio, you're still in the green. There are more green than red areas, although it's pretty close because of emerging markets. With that being said, I'm going to end it on that note. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. Hey, knowledge is power. Education leads to clarity. Clarity leads to confidence. If you'd like to learn more about the financial realities of retirement planning, income planning, risk management, estate planning, transferring wealth, wealth strategies, these different types of things, you can go to our website, faicoach.com, faicoach.com, and there's a wealth of information. You can pick up the phone, 814-867-5745, 814-867-5745. This is Paul Nichols signing off. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Hopefully this enriched your life in some way today. Thank you. Take care.